Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, September 19th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Stocks in Asia rally for the second day with China and Hong Kong leading gains.
As trade tensions simmer, China vows not to devalue its currency to boost exports.
At the same time, Beijing's holdings in treasuries fall to the lowest level in 6 months.
Republicans refuse to delay a hearing concerning sexual assault accusations against Supreme Court nominee Kavanaugh. Plus, President Trump heads to hurricane-ravaged North Carolina. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, Aaron Judge rejoins the Yankees as Boston comes to town. And the Mets are blasted in Philadelphia.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg is being brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Stocks in Europe are mostly higher following a rally in Asian equities, while U.S. stock index futures are little change. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, again, little change, down 2 points. Dow futures, little changed as well. NASDAQ futures right there as well, up a point. DAX in Germany's up 0.2%. CAC in Paris up 0.3%. FTSE 100 is lower, down 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 3.06%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.80%. NYMEX crude oil is up less than 0.1%. Up 4 cents to $69.89 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.4%. John.
As the U.S.-China trade war simmers, China is promising it won't devalue its currency to boost exports. Let's get more this morning from Beijing and Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie.
China's premier said devaluing the yuan would do more harm than good and repeated a pledge not to use the currency to support the country's exporters as trade tensions escalate. Li Keqiang sought to address additional concerns raised by Washington, saying intellectual property violations would be strictly punished and insisting foreign firms in China would be given a level playing field. Li also said efforts to cut taxes and fees would be stepped up to support businesses amid a more challenging economic environment. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tom, thank you. China's holdings of U.S. Treasuries, meanwhile, fell to a six-month low in July, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
According to data from the Treasury Department, China's ownership of U.S. bonds, bills, and notes slipped to $1.17 trillion, the lowest since January, and down from $1.18 trillion in June. The first salvos in the U.S.-China trade conflict were fired on July 6th, when the Trump administration activated tariffs on $34 billion of Chinese goods, which sparked immediate in-kind retaliation from Beijing. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Stocks in Asia today posted another strong day of gains with the MSCI Asia Pacific Index higher by more than 1%. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
Bob and Karen, shares in China led gains. The CSI 300 closed higher by 1.3% to 3,312 points. Japanese shares also gained, the topics closing at a three-month high and posting its best four-day gain since 2016. Sentiment also boosted there by a stable yen and solid export growth for the month of August. Elsewhere, mining shares boosted Australia's ASX 200. We saw Shanghai copper futures rise on solid demand, shrugging off trade concerns. The Aussie dollar also spiking along with yuan. But some Korean assets came under pressure after Bank of Korea minutes turned out to be on the hawkish side and so-called peace stocks fell in Seoul on day two of the Moon Kim summit in Pyongyang, as a South Korean government official said more talks will be needed. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. The Bank of Japan left its monetary stimulus program unchanged today. That's after making its first policy adjustments in nearly 2 years in July. The central bank maintained its 10-year bond yield target, asset purchases, and guidance on interest rates. a result predicted by all economists surveyed by Bloomberg.
In the UK, inflation unexpectedly accelerated in August. Annual consumer price growth quickened to 2.7%, topping the median forecast of 2.4%. And the pound is stronger following that data. Right now, British pound sterling 131.95. That's up 0.4% against the dollar.
In Europe, shares of Danske Bank are tumbling after word that its CEO is stepping down. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and John. Thomas Bonn leaving Danske Bank amid allegations it was at the center of a major European money laundering scandal with as much as $234 billion flowing through a tiny Estonian unit. The lender says close to half of the accounts in that tiny Baltic nation are deemed risky, and shares in Danske opened more than 6% lower in the day. Capital, bringing losses this year to about 32%. And since its peak in May last year, Danske's market value has plunged by about $14 billion. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Seb, thanks a lot. European car sales surged in August. Deliveries of new passenger vehicles jumped 30% from a year earlier, with sales increasing in every country but Sweden, Switzerland, and Iceland. For the year so far, auto deliveries were up 5.9% to 10.6 million cars.
Here in the U.S., shares of Tesla are under pressure once again. The electric car maker's stock fell 3.3% yesterday after word that it's facing a criminal probe over CEO Elon Musk's tweet about taking the company private. Bloomberg's Matt Robinson says federal prosecutors have opened a fraud investigation.
The government is in the process of gathering information, talking to board members, anyone who's potentially involved in taking the company private. It generally takes quite some time, months, if not years, to sort of flesh out what kinds of assumptions Elon made when he tweeted that out.
Shares of Tesla are down about 25% since that August tweet from Elon Musk.
And analysts at Morgan Stanley say Tesla could look to raise $2.5 billion in equity later this year. They don't have knowledge of any specific transactions under consideration, but offer that scenario as part of a forecast that could result in Tesla's share price fluctuating anywhere between $97 and $441. S&P futures right now down 2 points. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. Lawyers for the woman who accuses Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her decades ago said a public Senate committee hearing set for next week should be put on hold until the FBI investigates the allegation. Christine Blasey Ford's attorney, Lisa Banks.
There's no reason that we should have a public hearing on Monday, given what has occurred and when it has occurred. This is being rushed through, and it's too important to be rushed through. It's not a game. This is a serious situation.
However, Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley says that there is no need for an FBI investigation, and the invitation for the California College professor to testify on Monday still stands. President Donald Trump will travel to North Carolina today to survey the impact of Hurricane Florence.
The first responders, law enforcement, the military, FEMA, the job they're doing is incredible. It's incredible. So I just want to thank them very much.
Days after the hurricane rolled through, the region is still dealing with massive flooding. NAFTA talks resume today between the U.S. and Canada as time is running out to reach a deal. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland will meet today in Washington. The two countries remain at odds on core issues, including dairy products. President Trump praised North Korean leader Kim Jong-un for agreeing to further steps toward giving up his nuclear weapons, signaling that stalled negotiations might get back on track. The late-night tweet came during more meetings today between Kim and South Korean President Moon Jae-in. Bloomberg's Peter Pei in Seoul reports.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in declared complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula was not far, as he signed a joint statement with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un that includes Pyongyang's pledge to dismantle the key missile test site, as well as take further steps to decommission its main nuclear research center. The two leaders also agreed to work on an inter-Korean railway and jointly bid to co-host the 2032 Summer Olympics. The pact came after a second round of talks between the two leaders in Pyongyang Wednesday. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, John. All eyes on the return of Aaron Judge to the lineup, as not only was the atmosphere electric at Yankee Stadium, but the Red Sox were in town to open a three-game set. So many times it's the X factor that makes a difference. Just ask Neil Walker.
And the payoff. Swung on. There it goes. Deep right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Second deck. Neil Walker. The home run corker. He hits a three-run blast to right.
Yankees radio was Walker's only hit of the night, and the only one that mattered as New York beat Boston 3-2 despite conjuring up just three base hits and committing two errors that led to both runs. Not the prototypical win, but skipper Aaron Boone will take it.
One of the things Larry went out there and said, he said, you're getting another one here. And he stepped through it with confidence, and we're able to get it done.
Zach Britton nailed down his sixth save. Judge went 0-for-4 with a strikeout. Yankees also picked up a game on the A's for the all-important home field advantage, now lead the wild card by 2.5. Tonight, David Price battles Luis Severino. Mets were taken down by the Phillies 5-2 at Citizens Bank Ballpark. All the damage coming in the sixth inning for the Phillies. Jose Alfaro had a three-run blast. Tonight, Noah Syndergaard meets Zach Eflin. And some call it a sign of solidarity, others call it a dream. North and South Korea announced it's pitching a joint bid to co-host the 2032 Olympic Games. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
Rob, thanks a lot. And fans of Muhammad Ali who have some extra cash could be interested in this one. A 1970 Rolls-Royce once belonging to the boxing legend going up for auction. The vintage car is estimated to fetch anywhere from $47,000 to $70,000 plus a buyer's premium when it goes on the auction block October 5th in Belgium. At the time of its release, the Silver Shadow left-hand drive convertible was the company's most expensive top-of-the-range model, and it has quite a punch. S&P futures down 2 points. You're listening to Bloomberg. Bloomberg brought to you by BNB Bank from Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business and their financial success with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail. BNB Bank, many success stories, one bank, bnbbank.com.
Bloomberg's Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European shares taking their cue from a rally in Asia as investors wager the world's two biggest economies have time to iron out trade differences in the wake of the latest tariff salvos. The dollar is slipping, the yuan advancing as China said it won't devalue its currency. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, U.S. stock index futures are little changed. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.06%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.80%. NYMEX crude oil down about 0.1% on 5 cents at $69.80 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $4.60 at $12.07.50 an ounce. The euro $1.1704, the yen 112.36. Today we get reports on housing starts and building permits out at 8:30 Wall Street time. And Red Hat is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Lawyers for Christine Bailey Ford say that before she testifies on Capitol Hill next week, she wants the FBI to investigate her allegation that she was sexually assaulted by Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh decades ago. The Senate Judiciary Committee is refusing to delay Monday's hearing. President Trump will travel to hurricane-ravaged North Carolina today to survey the damage. The U.S. Trade Representative Lighthizer and Canadian Foreign Minister Freeland we'll meet today in Washington to resume NAFTA talks. On day two of the summit between the leaders of North and South Korea, Kim Jong-un has agreed to dismantle his main nuclear site if the U.S. takes responding measures. In baseball, the Yankees down the Red Sox. The Mets lost along with the A's and the Orioles. The Nationals and Giants won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's coming up on 520 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, trade wars escalate and investors, they react by pushing stocks higher. Let's bring in our first guest this morning, Christina Hooper of Invesco. Explain this to me. What's going on?
Well, it's inexplicable, but it's a pattern we've seen all this year in that investors choose to ignore the escalating trade tensions and, in fact, seize on positive elements. For example, I think there was some relief that some items were removed from the tariff list that would have created more pressure. And so they're going with that narrative and sending stocks up.
When you try to measure which direction we're heading, I mean, what do you seize on right now, the fundamentals for stocks?
Well, I think there's becoming a disconnect because the trade war is escalating, and it appears that both sides are hell-bent on really having a very significant confrontation. That is not being priced into stocks. And so I worry that while we might see stocks continue to move up in the shorter term, ultimately they're going to take a big hit when all these issues start showing up in economic data.
So how do you position yourself?
Well, you need to be very well diversified because diversification is a key downside protection tool. And that includes, of course, exposure to alternatives, significant exposure to alternatives like market neutral, like real estate, because we want some non-correlating asset classes or asset classes that have low correlations with traditional stocks and bonds. Because this is an environment where we still need to be participating. Monetary policy is still arguably accommodative, and that's supportive, and we're certainly also seeing economic growth is supportive of risk assets, but trade is a big, big risk, and it's growing.
It sounds like you're making a case for small caps as well.
Well, investors certainly could benefit from small cap exposure, but I would argue that if the trade wars escalate, what ultimately could happen is that the impact could reverberate throughout the economy, and so in particular, consumers, even smaller cap consumer stocks could be hit because just think about the tariff situation. If tariffs are applied and if companies pass on those tariffs to consumers and if consumers are willing to pay more, let's say for an iPhone, that means that's less money to be spent on other consumer items. So ultimately there could be reverberations even to domestic small caps, but certainly it makes sense to have adequate exposure there. Again, it's hard to model this out because there are so many different possible outcomes, so diversification really is key in this kind of environment.
All right. 10-year yield right now in the U.S., this kind of snuck up on us, 3.05%. Compare that to the 12-month dividend yield on the S&P 500, 1.8%. Does that make the case for getting into fixed income?
Well, it certainly does for many investors. And what we've historically seen is that any time the 10-year hits a new key level higher, it typically causes a re-rating of stocks. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some level of re-rating as well. However, if you believe in the economy, investors still need adequate exposure to stocks. And actually, I'm very excited about a lot of the dividend-paying stocks out there. While the average for the S&P 500 may be below 2%, there are a significant number of dividend-paying stocks that can be found with yields far higher than 2%.
When your clients call you, do you have to do a lot of hand-holding, and what's your advice?
Well, I think it's more about maintaining a long-term perspective, suggesting to clients that they always adhere to a long-term plan and not let emotions get in the way, either on the upside or the downside. And so maintaining that pathway is really critical because, as we know, events can be so noisy and data can be noisy and really pull investors away from their long-term path. So that's really critical. I wouldn't say investors need hand-holding, but it's always helpful to provide those reminders about keeping that long-term plan in place.
Okay, I'll ask the unfair question, the prediction time from Christina Hooper. Where do we end up with the S&P 500 year-end and, I don't know, maybe going into next year?
I expect the S&P 500 to end near where we are today, but that doesn't mean it will be a flat journey from here to there. My expectation is we're going to see a lot of volatility between now and then, but that ultimately we'll end up near where we are today.
Christina, good to talk to you as always. Christina Hooper, Invesco's Chief Global Market Strategist. S&P futures right now are down a point. The Dow futures are up 10 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we'll speak with Bloomberg opinion columnist Marcus Ashworth. We'll examine the strength of the U.S. dollar and what it means for emerging markets. This is Bloomberg.
Experiencing tax turbulence?
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European equities are little changed after stocks in Asia rallied for the second straight day. The dollar is weaker and the yuan is strengthening after China said it will not devalue its currency to boost exports.
In Europe, shares of Danske Bank are down more than 7% after news that the CEO, Thomas Bugge, will step down. The resignation comes amid allegations that Denmark's biggest bank was at the center of a major European money laundering scandal.
European car sales surged in August. Deliveries of new passenger vehicles jumped 30% from a year earlier, with sales increasing in every country but Sweden, Switzerland, and Iceland.
The British pound is stronger after inflation in the UK unexpectedly accelerated in August. Annual consumer price growth quickened at 2.7%, topping the median forecast of 2.4%.
The U.S. government issues its monthly report on home construction at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast housing starts rose by 5.7% in August to 1.23 million at an annual pace. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dal Giudice has more.
In the prior report, July housing starts registered a meek rebound after dropping in June by almost 13%. Bloomberg Economics says recent data imply housing will be a drag on third quarter economic growth and possibly the year as a whole. Mortgage costs will probably move higher if the Fed lifts its benchmark interest rate again. The Fed's next policy meeting is next week. Vinnie Dal Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. J.P. Morgan Asset Management says investors can afford to stay in risky assets for at least another year. The firm's chief market strategist for Asia says the prospects of a U.S. recession in the next 12 to 18 months are low.
And Goldman Sachs Asset Management is betting on Turkey and Argentina. The money manager has taken an overweight position in the two countries' dollar bonds, despite their status as the year's worst-performing emerging markets.
And U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany, meanwhile, is up 0.2%, while the CAC in Paris is up 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 is little changed. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 3.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.79%. NYMEX crude oil, little changed, up 2 cents to $69.87 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4%, or $4.60, at $12.07.50. An ounce. The euro at $1.1696 and the yen is at 112.33. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It is now 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. The woman who accused Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault when they were in high school has rejected an invitation by Judiciary Committee Republicans to testify publicly on Monday. In a letter to the committee chairman late last night, lawyers for Christine Blasey Ford say, quote, a full investigation by law enforcement officials must happen first. Ford's attorney, Lisa Banks.
She will talk with the committee. She's not prepared to talk with them at a hearing on Monday.
Republican Senator John Cornyn, a judiciary member, was suggesting that the hearing may be pointless if Ford doesn't show up.
Having a hearing was to accommodate her request to tell her story in a hopefully a dignified and civil sort of setting. And if she decides not to show up, that's entirely her choice.
Committee Chairman Grassley says nothing the FBI does would have any bearing on what Ford tells the committee, and the invitation to testify stands for Monday. President Trump is heading to Cherry Point, North Carolina, following devastating damage from Hurricane Florence. The president thanked first responders who have been aiding in relief and recovery efforts. Meanwhile, the governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, says it is still not yet safe for people to head back to their homes.
We know that we have a long road ahead dealing with immediate issues of getting people water and food and making sure they have a place to stay, getting power back on, giving people medical attention.
Cooper says some areas have seen extensive damage. NAFTA talks resume again between the U.S. and Canada as time is running out to reach a deal. President Trump praised North Korean leader Kim Jong-un for agreeing to further steps toward giving up his nuclear weapons. In a late-night tweet, Trump described Kim's moves to discuss allowing nuclear inspectors in addition to dismantling a missile test site and putting in a joint bid to host the 2032 Summer Olympics with South Korea as very exciting. It came during a second day of meetings between Kim and South Korean President Moon Jae-in. Four men who said they were sexually abused as boys by a teacher at a Catholic church have reached a $27.5 million settlement with the Diocese of Brooklyn, according to the New York Times. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschke.
Good morning, John. The Red Sox rolled into town. Aaron Judge returned to the lineup. So, of course, Neil Walker wins it for the Yankees, belting his 10th home run of the year. For Walker, it was his only hit, and it lifted New York past Boston 3-2 to open a three-game midweek series. The home run, even more important because New York finished with only three hits. They had two errors that led to a pair of unearned runs. Judge back in the lineup. It's a welcome sight for manager Aaron Boone.
Smokes that ball his first time up to right. We looked up 112 the other way. That's pretty good. And I thought really good at bats. The double play, I thought the intent was good. Got a good pitch to hit. Hit it sharply just right at the guy and then almost got one the other way. I thought he looked like he hadn't missed a beat, you know, from the at-bat quality.
Judge went 1-for-4 with a strikeout batting second. Zach Britton earned the save. The win keeps the A's at bay for the first wild card spot, now 2.5 games in front of Oakland, who lost to the Angels. Luis Severino plays host to David Price tonight. Mets were dropped in Philadelphia 5-2 to the Phillies, thanks to Jose Alfaro's 3-run blast. All five came in the big sixth inning for the Phillies. Noah Syndergaard tries to right the ship this evening. Football, the Jets play their second primetime game in 3 weeks as they visit Cleveland on Thursday. Coach Todd Bowles concerned with Cleveland's ground attack.
They had three great running backs, obviously, and then the quarterback can run as well, so that's extra yardage that you don't account for that's hidden. You know, you try to stop the running backs and the quarterback's going to hurt you and vice versa, so they got four guys that touch the ball pretty regularly, not to mention the reverses they can run with Callaway and with Jarvis.
Jets are 1-1, Cleveland 0-1-1, yet New York is a 3-point underdog. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
Rob, thanks a lot. It is now 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the most boring bull market ever. Also in this week's issue, an opinion piece on the one key reform that could add stability to Tesla. Liam Denning wrote the column for Bloomberg Business Week.
What I'm concerned about is help at the company, help running Tesla. And this is another idea that's out there now, that what's needed is a chief operating officer or some other safe pair of operational hands to help.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. And it's time now for the Tri-State Business Report. We check in with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, John. WeWork has reached a settlement with New York to end its use of overly broad non-compete agreements for almost all of its employees. New York City, New York Attorney General Barbara Underwood says the pact releases 1,400 employees across the country from non-compete agreements and allows for less restrictive pacts for another 1,800. Argo Infrastructure Partners has agreed to buy a high-voltage line that ships power from New Jersey under the Hudson River to Manhattan. Ares Management and Starwood Energy are the sellers of the 660-megawatt Hudson line. Terms of the deal were not disclosed. And Connecticut plans to issue a new class of bonds. They're backed by income tax withholdings and should get higher ratings than the state's general obligation bonds. But Bloomberg says that could place holders of older bonds in a bad position if the state ever lacks the money to pay both groups of investors. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
All right, thanks, Ed. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm talking about the financial windfall New York is set to lose from New Jersey's fast-track pot legalization.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. A move by Congress could mean you could get stuck with a non-refundable airline ticket.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following sterling after a surprise acceleration in UK inflation.
I'm Steve Potosk and on KMOX in St. Louis, we're talking about changes in the local supermarket industry as Super Value shrinks its retail holdings.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that the CME's cryptocurrency partners are being called out by New York regulators.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting Bob Lutz, the former vice chairman of General Motors, still thinks Tesla's days are numbered.
Yeah, those are some of the stories our journalists and analysts are working on this morning. This is Bloomberg. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, futures are mixed. S&P futures right now down a point. The Dow futures up 9 points. And the NASDAQ E-minted futures are 2 points higher. This is Daybreak.
Bloomberg Daybreak. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European shares are taking their cue from a rally in Asia as investors wager the world's two biggest economies have time to iron out trade differences in the wake of the latest tariff salvos. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. U.S. stock index futures, meanwhile, little change this morning while the DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. CAC in Paris is up 0.3%. FTSE 100, little changed. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 3.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.79%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 14 cents at $69.71 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $4.60 at $12.0750 an ounce. The euro, $1.17. The yen, 112.33. And today we get reports on housing starts and building permits at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley says there is no reason to delay Monday's hearing to address a woman's claim of sexual assault against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. The statement comes after Christine Blasey Ford said she would not appear before the panel until the FBI investigates. Wilmington, North Carolina is still surrounded by floodwaters following Hurricane Florence. Governor Roy Cooper is asking evacuees to hold off on returning home. Meanwhile, two detainees being transported in a sheriff's van drowned in South Carolina last night when the vehicle was overtaken by floodwaters. The U.S. and Canada will resume NAFTA talks today in Washington. In baseball, the Yankees downed the Red Sox. The Mets lost along with the A's and Orioles. The Nationals and Giants won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. We're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it is now 5:49 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg ETF report, being brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Here's Bloomberg's Julie Hyman.
In the great cost migration, as Eric Balchunas likes to call it, we are seeing more no-fee funds. Eric is here with me now from Bloomberg Intelligence. Fidelity came out recently with a couple of no-fee funds, and now they're doubling that number.
Yep, it's spreading.
Going from two to four.
Yes, exactly. So the first two were a broad market and a broad international. Now the two new ones that are going to be 0.0 expense ratio are small cap and large cap. So this is probably going to spread even further. But for now, a couple things you need to know about this. They had good success in the first two. They took $1 billion in. That's pretty good. They probably love the attention that it got them. And these funds are available only on their platform, though. So it's sort of a classic loss leader or a lure to get you in. And then maybe they'll try to sell you some stuff that actually, you know, has a fee attached to it.
Some money. Yeah, right. I mean, right, because that's the big question. How many of these can they offer before it starts to be a problem for margins?
Yeah, it will be a real test on how much they can work you into some other products they have.
All right. Thanks, Eric, with the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Julie Hyman.
Julie, thank you. It is 5:50 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolved faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
More than a dozen Democratic lawmakers are calling on Walmart to disclose how it's using its estimated $2.2 billion annual windfall from the tax law to benefit its workers. The General Accounting Office says the IRS should take steps to improve its oversight of the low-income housing tax credit. The credit is designed to spur private investment in low-income rental housing. And the Senate passed a music copyright bill that would streamline royalty payments to artists from digital music platforms. It also extends sound recording rights to music recorded before 1972.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at the court fight between Qualcomm and Apple, which continues this week in the U.S. International Trade Commission, with Qualcomm trying to stop Apple devices from being sold in the United States. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Matt Larson, a litigation analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence.
Matt, what's the basic dispute over?
Sure. So this all goes back to a dispute over patent royalties, or the price that Qualcomm is able to charge to license its technologies to handset makers. In this case, specifically Apple. Qualcomm does a lot of research and development. They contribute to standard setting organizations that essentially establish how your phone connects to wireless networks. And in exchange for doing that work and contributing to standards efforts, handset makers who implement those standards owe Qualcomm royalties. And there's no set price. These are all subject to negotiation. And so the parties a couple of years ago were in the process of attempting to renegotiate a direct deal from Qualcomm to Apple. Apple had previously paid through third parties who actually manufacture the physical iPhone. And they weren't able to arrive at a deal. So litigation ensued. There's a huge dispute, and we are where we are.
So there are disputes in different courts in different countries. And there's a hearing this week before the U.S. International Trade Commission, which is the second of two suits. So can you sort these out?
Yeah, sure. So strategically, when you're looking at patent litigation, you file in multiple different courts for a couple different reasons. They offer different forms of relief is the first. So the International Trade Commission threatens a U.S. product sales and import ban on products that infringe patents. So there you put some pressure on Apple's supply chain potentially if you win. You compare that to a district court case where they provide money damages, or, similarly, you might file a lawsuit in China because it's a big importer and exporter. So it's, again, a strategic hit at the supply chain. You also file in Germany because it's a fast jurisdiction. So you can see these legal disputes pile on, and there are countersuits, and the whole thing kind of blows up to a large global litigation.
And that's Bloomberg Intelligence litigation analyst Mac Larson speaking with June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. John.
Thanks, Karen. He's the world's richest man and founder of the world's largest retailer. Tune in for an hour-long conversation with Jeff Bezos on this week's edition of the David Rubenstein Show, Peer-to-Peer Conversations. It's a wide-ranging interview about the Amazon founder's background, how he came up with the idea for Amazon, and his most recent thoughts on the company's key businesses. Here's a portion of that conversation now.
Your stock is actually up 70% this year. Is there one thing that you think is responsible for that, or several things? Because 70% is pretty good.
I have been lecturing. We have all hands meetings at Amazon, and for 20 years, ever since we've been public, 21 years now, 1997, at almost every all hands meeting, I say, look, when the stock is up 30% in a month, don't feel 30% smarter. Because when the stock is down 30% in a month, it's not going to feel so good to feel 30% dumber. And that's what happens. Never spend any time thinking about the daily stock price. I don't.
Okay. So as a result of going up 70% this year, you have become the wealthiest man in the world. Is that a title that you really wanted or not?
Assure you I have never sought that title. And it was fine being the second wealthiest person in the world. That actually worked fine. It's something people naturally are curious about. You know, it's a kind of an interesting curiosity. But it's not the thing. I would much rather if they said, like, inventor Jeff Bezos or entrepreneur Jeff Bezos or, father Jeff Bezos. Those kinds of things are much more meaningful to me. And it's an output measure. If you look at the financial success of Amazon and the stock, I own 16% of Amazon. Amazon's worth roughly $1 trillion. That means that what we have built over 20 years, we have built $840 billion of wealth for other people. And that's great. That's how it should be. You know, there, I believe so powerfully in the ability of entrepreneurial capitalism and free markets to solve so many of the world's problems. Not all of them, but so many of them.
So you live in Washington State, in Seattle,
yeah,
or outside of Seattle. Now, the man who was the richest man for about 20 years is named Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And what is the likelihood that the two richest men in the world live not only in the same country, not only in the same state, not only in the same city, but in the same neighborhood? I mean, is there something in that neighborhood that we should know about? And are there any more houses for sale there?
After I saw Bill not too long ago, we were joking about the world's richest man thing, and I basically said I said you're welcome, and he immediately turned to me and said thank you. Medina is a great little, it's a suburb of Seattle, and, you know, I don't think there's anything special in the water there. And,
right,
you know, I did locate Amazon in Seattle because of Microsoft. I thought that big pool of technical talent would provide a good place to recruit talented people from, and that did turn out to be true. So it's not a complete coincidence.
Amazon CEO and founder Jeff Bezos. Hear the full conversation on this week's edition of the David Rubenstein Show, Peer-to-Peer Conversations, airing tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Television and tomorrow at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio. And futures this morning are little changed. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.